This is The Cutting Room Floor, with your hosts, Eric and Alex. The Cutting Room Floor features discussions that contain spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
My romantic life has been a bit of a mixed bag lately, but it's couples like you that give hope to the rest of us. Leslie, you deserve the best, and you found it. Ben, don't you dare hurt her.
I won't.
Don't laugh. She means it.
I won't.
Seriously, son. Don't hurt her.
Okay, I'm not planning on hurting her.
You better not be.
I'm not.
Hey, Ben, you best watch yourself.
Why would any of you think I would hurt Leslie? You're all my friends, too.
Hi, welcome back to The Cutting Room Floor. I'm Eric.
And I'm Alex.
You know, there are a lot of awesome movie franchises. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, James Bond, despite a couple stumbles here and there.
Right. Looking at you, Die Another Day.
I was thinking more Roger Moore. But I personally like a lot of his. You know, there's lots of good movie franchises right out there that have been out for a long time. We're not talking about those types of franchises today. We're talking about franchises that totally, the movie left you wide open for a sequel, and it completely tanked. No sequel for you, because your movie sucked. So I will start off. My first failed franchise is a little film that came out in 2010 by the name of The Last Airbender.
This almost killed Shyamalan's career.
Yeah.
The fact that anybody gave him another movie after was, like, miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd kind of been having some stumbles then, but then this came out.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. This is a total side. This has nothing to do with that. I just remember, what movie was it we went to see? It must have been Inception. Because I remember we were talking about it. We were talking about Last Airbender. We started watching, so we start Inception, and we get the trailers, and
it was the trailer for Devil?
Yeah, and it says, from producer M. Night Shyamalan, everybody just started laughing. Like, it was, because, yeah, it was, like, right off the heels of Airbender, and the whole theater just started giggling. Yeah. And I was just like, I never saw this movie, because I heard how bad it was.
Uh-huh.
But even I was just like, oh, that's a bad response.
Yeah, very bad response. So,
you done messed up, Aaron.
But a positive for this film.
Uh-huh.
M. Night Shyamalan was able to take the first season of the Avatar The Last Airbender series and compress a 22 episode children's show into about an hour and a half long movie.
Okay.
Which is, hey, props to you.
Right.
You know, that's not a very easy thing to do. I've actually considered, because I enjoy this series so much, making my own adaptation of it.
Right. Like just a supercut type thing, or?
Yeah, just kind of like if I was doing this, I would have done. I would have, like, write out a script or whatever.
Oh, okay, I see.
Not to, like, oh, yeah, let me sell this, you know. No, just for my
own. Just for fun.
Just for fun. Second positive thing about this film, the costuming is very good.
I just saw the trailers. I mean, visually, it looked good.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so they translated the costumes pretty well. Because that can, like, were they, like show accurate then?
Not necessarily show accurate, okay, but, like, just, they had just, for the water tribe, for the waterbenders, they had just this really just deep blue, like, really nice blue that looked, and, like, for the air, the earthbenders, they had, you know, some of their costume like this really just deep green.
Okay.
And I was just like, it was just, I just thought the costuming was like, wow, that's actually really good costuming.
Cool.
I love this cartoon series.
Right.
It is a good cartoon series.
Oh, it's like beloved.
Oh, yeah. People love this cartoon series. And so, yeah, this film, oh my goodness. This film came out on my birthday.
And I was Thanks for ruining Eric's birthday, Shamhammer.
And I was like, sweet, let's go check out this movie. And I was like, ah, crap. And I was living with a bunch of...
It's just, like, so sad. Like, I'm so excited to see this on my birthday. And it's like, what just happened?
Yeah. It's such a bad movie.
Earthbenders! Why are you acting this way? You are powerful and amazing people. You don't need to live like this. There's Earth right beneath your feet. The ground is an extension of who you are. Earthbenders, you don't know me, but I know of you. Every child in my water tribe village was rocked to sleep with stories of the brave Earth Kingdom and the courageous Earthbenders who guard its borders. Some of you may think that the Fire Nation has made you powerless. Yes, they have taken away your ability to bend, but they can't take away your courage. And it is your courage they should truly fear, because it runs deeper than any mine you've been forced to dig, any ocean that keeps you far from home. It is the strength of your hearts that make you who you are, hearts that will remain unbroken when all rock and stone has eroded away. The time to fight back is now.
Yeah, it's just so sad. And actually, I think because I was so disappointed in this movie, I was living with a bunch of my friends at the time. I actually marathoned the whole entire series. It was the middle of summer, and like I was only working part-time at the time. So I took 3 nights and watched a season a night.
Oh, man.
So that's like 7 hours of television times three.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, the cartoon is a beloved cartoon. It has the potential to be a Lord of the Rings or, you know, like a Star Wars.
Right.
Just done with like martial arts.
Right.
And magic. Uh-huh. You know, like, it's such a beloved series and just, it stumbled so bad. And like, they completely, you know, just like the end of the first season, they completely leave it open with the bad guy sending his daughter to, you need to finish the job. It's like, okay. You know,
right.
It's like, and yeah. Oh, to make matters worse. So the series is book one, water, book two, earth, book three, fire. The movie has book one, water.
Okay.
And it's like, yeah, you're not getting a sequel to this. This thing tanked.
That's
so
funny.
Bad. It is, oh man, it's something I just, it has the potential to be such a good series. And yes, I know, I always have the cartoon. Yes, that's
right, true. Right.
But
well, even so, it's just sad to see something just butchered. You know,
so many people will love.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You can always go back and watch the cartoon, but yeah, it's sad to see something that you're just like, why? What are you doing? you know.
Yeah. Don't get me started on the pronunciation of the names. So in the name,
so it's not like, sorry, it's just like, it's not like you don't have like, what, how many seasons?
3 seasons.
You don't have 3 seasons of this to go back and be like, are we getting the name right? Oh no, we gotta fix that. It's like, nah, it's good enough.
Well, I think his reasoning for changing the name was more just like, oh, it's more in context with like, the area of like the, you know, the Asian influence of like,
okay,
like, so instead of Aang, Katara, and Sokka, you have Aang, Katara, and Sokka.
Okay.
Or whatever. And it's like, and it is exposition heavy.
Okay.
Imagine Star Wars opening crawl narrated.
Oh, jeez.
That's how it starts. To give a history of like, there's this 100-year war going on.
That's always hard.
Yeah, it's hard. And just the acting is just bad. Like, side tangent, I watched Cowboys and Aliens like a year later. They're watching it, and there's a little boy there in the scene. I'm like, wait, that's the kid who played Aang in The Last Airbender. It has the potential to be so awesome. But then again, there are so many books,
right,
TV shows, what have you, that are so good on paper or so good in their medium.
Right.
You get someone who's like, oh, this will make money.
Right.
Why didn't this make money?
Right. So was Shyamalan a fan of the cartoon, or was it just like...
His daughter was.
Okay.
And he's like, ooh, I'll make this for her.
Right.
And I don't know, he either didn't watch the whole thing, or he thought, I can do better.
Right. It's interesting how that can play out because wasn't it Viggo Mortensen? He took the part of
Aragorn
because it's his son.
Yeah, and he didn't want to do it.
Right. But man, did that guy put 110% into it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then you get something like this. That, yeah. You know? It's like, well, my kid likes it, so sure, you know?
Yeah. So basically, for those who have seen the cartoon, before the series finale,
mm-hmm.
there is a recap episode where the main characters go and see a play put on by some local company, and it is just a parody of, they make fun of all the, like, cliches in their story, okay. you know, and this movie is if those play actors made this movie. It is so bad. Such a terrible movie.
Oh, that's funny. And sad, though.
Yeah.
Because you never want to, I mean, even if it's something you don't care for, like, you know, if people like it, I mean, even something like Twilight, right? Like, I don't care for it, but, like, you could have at least done that better, you know?
You don't like seeing a really bad CGI backbreaking during labor? Remember when you sent me that?
Oh, man. That was so... I ended up actually laughing. I was like, it looks so bad. But, I mean, like, you know, even if you don't care for the material, you could at least... I mean, that's just one of those things of like, yeah, let's make money off this sucker. Yeah. It's like, if you put heart and soul into it, at least it could come off better, you know?
Yeah.
So, the one I've got here is the DC Cinematic Universe. And no, I'm not talking about the DCEU, which, in spite of bumps in the road, is now 5 films deep with the 6th in Aquaman coming out this fall. Not talking about that at all.
Okay.
WB and DC tried to get a cinematic universe off the ground at least twice before committing to an approach with Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
So the first was actually ahead of Marvel. They could have been ahead of the curve with the whole, like, team-up thing. Well, no, because Iron Man came out in 2008.
Yeah, it did.
So it would have been ahead of... It would have at least been on par or ahead of the curve.
Okay.
They had a film in pre-production called Justice League Mortal. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I've heard John Snap talk about it on Collider.
Okay, so I mean, they had some things, like, they had costumes designed, like, they were ready to go, and then that writer strike hit.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that they wanted to do some rewrites to bring the film up to what they thought it needed to be. Couldn't do that because of the writer strike. Ultimately, they ended up pulling the plug on this. And there's things that have been leaked. There's concept art of Aquaman. They actually have full costume shots of Megan Gale, who ended up being cast as Wonder Woman.
Okay.
So, and it's kind of funny, that costume looks terrible. Like, okay. It looks like the costume that Gal Gadot wears is infinitely better.
Okay.
It looks so much better. and even that takes... It's actually kind of funny because that takes liberties from the comic. But so, yeah, Gal Gadot's costume is actually, it looks like, I need to look and see if I can get a side-by-side, but it looks like they've basically adopted the movie costume to the comics right now. It's kind of funny.
Okay, oh, that's cool.
But the costume that they had for Megan Gale looks cheaply done.
Gotcha.
Whereas... And maybe on film it would have looked different, but yeah, uh-huh. it looks. I'm trying to think. Did you ever see the previews of the Adrian Palicki Wonder Woman TV show that they were trying to pull off?
Oh, it was back in like 2013,
something like that. Yeah, and she had pants in that.
That's right. I remember this.
There were, like, two different versions. Like, she had a pants version. She had, like, the swimsuit cut version. But it looked like it was made out of vinyl. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so this looks kind of a step above that, but not much further up the ladder. It looks better than the vinyl TV version, not as good as the DCEU version.
Gotcha.
And I saw what looked like a test shot of the Superman suit,
uh-huh.
and that didn't look that good either. Yeah, it kind of looked like a weird step between the Henry Cavill costume and the Christopher Reeve costume.
Okay.
Think almost, not even, I mean, it looked worse than, not worse, because the Brandon Routh costume looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But think what is currently on screen in Supergirl.
Okay.
Not that that looks bad, but it just looks like TV quality.
TV quality.
That's kind of what the Wonder Woman costume looked, well, a step above what we had for the TV show, but, so, like, just from what I've seen, the costumes didn't look that great.
Okay.
So, I mean, that writer's strike was part of the reason, but then, there were some other things that went into play.
There was definitely a big other thing.
Yeah, so, WB and DC had a burgeoning property on its hands that was about to explode with Christopher Nolan's Batman series. So, Batman Begins did decently at the box office.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it pulled in, like, what, 325 worldwide, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
Which is respectable, considering it was in the dustbin before that.
Yeah.
Then there was
Schumacher.
Right, yeah. Then the hype machine got going for The Dark Knight.
And oh, yes.
Everybody was kind of like, what's going to happen? So I think with the writer's strike thing, let's backtrack a little bit. With the writer's strike thing, they were in Australia. From my understanding, they pulled the plug, pulled everybody out of Australia, and I think they were talking about relocating to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so it was kind of like on like a hiatus type thing.
Okay.
Then The Dark Knight comes out, explodes, right? You only had Christopher Nolan signed on for 2 films. And so,
as far as The Dark Knight?
Uh-huh. They only signed, so they signed Christian Bale to 3. Nolan's contract was for 2.
Okay.
And so, suddenly he had a lot of power, you know?
Rightfully so.
But both Nolan and Bale voiced concerns about there being another version of Batman on screen at the same time.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to avoid audience confusion.
Yep.
Because this would have come out between, if they got it in production, I think maybe 2009.
Uh-huh.
So it would have been a year, roughly.
After Dark Knight.
Maybe 2010. Yeah. So even so, though, that would be about when you might expect to start seeing things for a sequel.
Yeah.
For what would become Rises. They basically used their leveraging power to say, I mean, maybe that was part of it. Nolan wouldn't have come back, basically.
I think, yeah, that might have been the case. He might have been like, no.
Right. Like,
I'm not coming back if you start this.
Right. And let's look at it honestly, though.
He just made WB $1 billion.
$1 billion. But not only that, Batman was the only thing they had going for them.
Yeah.
Because Superman Returns came, what, so Begins was 2005. Superman Returns came out in 06.
Yeah.
That underperformed. They hadn't been able to get Wonder Woman off the ground until last year.
Yeah.
Even though around that time they had, I think they had Joss Whedon on board writing a script.
Mm-hmm.
That fell apart. I mean, with Batman being the only successful film franchise and the director who resurrected it being like, yeah, no, you start this up, I'm not coming back for another one. You got to look at your cards and say, okay, we're going to go with what you say, Chris.
Exactly.
So, you know, they wanted to either preempt Marvel or catch up to them a lot sooner, but, you know, basically Batman was off limits until after 2012.
Yeah.
So that was the first one that they tried to get off the ground and it tanked.
Okay.
The second was they gave it another go with Green Lantern, actually. Green Lantern was intended to be
a kickoff
for a cinematic universe, which is kind of a good idea because you can get it going without using Batman.
Yeah.
Because the idea with Justice League was to basically introduce everybody at once and then go from there.
Yeah.
So Green Lantern was a way to kind of at least get it started while still allowing the Dark Knight universe to wrap up.
Yeah.
But that film was met with negative reviews. It had a combined budget of $300 million for production and marketing, and it only made $219 million worldwide. So they were out about $80
million. Ouch.
Yeah. So, you know, that sputtered, and then they kind of abandoned that because that's what WB was doing. So So I did kind of find it funny, though, that they snuffed out two intended attempts to start a cinematic universe and then finally committed to it with a movie that was never intended to be part of the cinematic universe.
Because
that was the idea of Man of Steel, was a Dark Knight style. Not that style, but that concept of, like, he's the only superhero in his universe.
Yeah.
And instead it was just kind of like, nope, this'll do.
Yeah.
Stupid. Okay. It kind of did make me wonder, like, what would happen, though, if, like, what would it be like if we had the cinematic universe now that was, you know, several years deep, and it was kind of interesting. But a big hint is, if they went forward with the Justice League Mortal version of Batman, he'd still be a murderer, so... Yay.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
For my second failed franchise, I have decided to use Seeker, The Dark is Rising. This is based off of a book series called The Dark is Rising. Came out in, like, the 70s.
Okay.
It's, you know, your typical, it's another fantasy-esque thing, but it all starts getting into, like, Arthurian legend type stuff. You got this chosen kid who has to keep the darkness at bay or whatever. So, the synopsis of this movie is, a boy's life is turned upside down when he learns that he is the last of a group of immortal warriors who have dedicated their lives to fighting the forces of the dark. Okay, so this takes place in Britain.
Okay.
This book series takes place in Britain in the, like, 70s, 80s.
Okay.
Okay, here's an idea for a movie. Imagine Harry Potter was set in 2013, and Harry Potter's not English. He's an American.
I mean, you could maybe make the time jump, but not the being British is, that's a huge part of who Harry Potter is.
Yes, yes. And
it'd be like saying, let's take the Teenage Mutant Turtles and make them Australian. Why?
Oh, Leo.
Yeah, I mean, why?
Check out this Tango.
I mean, oh man, okay.
This book series, I don't think it. Well, no. In the fourth book, they go to Wales.
Okay.
And they meet a character in Wales. It's like. So I was like, okay, maybe you don't need to have this be in Britain, the UK, you know? Like. But I just saw the trailer and I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. You've completely changed the nationality of the main character?
Right.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then it just looked like a bad movie.
Right.
Kind of sucked, because I enjoyed reading that series back in the day.
Oh, that's sad. Well, I mean,
always have the books.
Right, but it's so interesting how sometimes there's a choice made, and it's just like, why would you make that choice? What on earth would possess you to say, okay, this whole... I mean, in some cases you can do it, you can make that adaptation, but when... The country of origin is so essential to the character and the story. Yeah, exactly. Like, you couldn't take Harry Potter and make him American. It would just ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's why in Fantastic Beasts you have to go to America. Yeah. You know, you just can't do that otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to see what the Wizarding World is like in the U.S., you have to actually... You can't just... Ah, it just makes me mad.
Yeah, yeah. Harry Potter was an orphan from the Bronx.
It just sounds awful. Oh, gosh. And, like, he couldn't live in the cupboard under the stairs. He'd have to live in, like, the closet or something.
Yeah.
In a one-bedroom studio apartment. Yeah. Oh, gosh. It makes me sad. Just to think that that's what it would be like. Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, we'll be back next time. We're going to be talking about fanboy adaptations. Something that, like, if we were given the chance to make something, like, what would we want to see? Like, how would we want to see it, basically? Mm-hmm. So that's what we'll be talking about, and we'll see you next time.
Hey. Thank you for listening to The Cutting Room Floor. Please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can email us at thecuttingroomfloorpodcast@gmail.com.